This is the Women of Vision Show, North State. Now, we're so excited to be here on this Thursday. I'm D'Amica.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
And I'm Sarah Chapin, back in the building, finally.
Hi, back in the building.
You exist. And I'm Licia Prater. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. All right, so before we get started with our show, and I think we have a very interesting show today, we wanted to just do a clearing in the room, in this space, and also out there in radio land with everyone, just because of everything that's going on in recent events with the George Floyd case. I can't even say his name right because I've heard it so many times. But just to like pause for a moment with the verdict and everything that came out of that case, and also the recent events after that case, you know, for the convicted, for George Floyd's family, for everyone that has been impacted by the recent events, we just wanted to pause and give honor and also just peace, light, positivity to everyone, because we're all going through so much. So just for a moment, we want to pause before we get into our interesting topic.
Okay, everyone, we are back. I'm glad we did that. I know, I'm sure people on radio are like, is that dead air? No, that was an intentional moment for us to reflect just briefly on everything that's happened. And as you mentioned with George Floyd, that I think was probably the most sort of pivotal moment in terms of, you know, I know this.
I would say like a turning point, hopefully, in history. I just think that it definitely impacted Black Lives Matter, that whole movement.
Oh, absolutely.
But also everyone. I just think it impacted everyone all over the world in some sort of way.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It definitely shed light on, I think, an ongoing problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to say, and I think it's fair to speak for all of us when I say this, we're not here to say all cops are bad. Quite the opposite.
Absolutely. Yes.
Quite the opposite. That's not
tons of cop friends.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
Exactly. Of course they are. It's a job that is incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I have said a lot, you know, especially over the course of this last year, that, man, I would not want to be a cop right now, you know, because of the scrutiny and all of that. But on the other hand, you know, I'm kind of like, but I think it's, if there is a silver lining to any of this, it's that we are now forced as a collective to look at things that maybe we didn't really pay attention to.
And that is why, like, with that pause, I hope I did do it in an inclusive way.
Absolutely.
Of everyone.
Yes.
I think needs to pause and take a moment, because it's just been heavy. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot. It's been a burden, you know, and I just think collectively we need to take a moment sometimes.
It was definitely an interesting, trial to watch. Did you guys watch it? Did you guys or see clips of it?
I didn't watch clips of it. Yeah, definitely. Same. Like, not so in depth. But it does bring us into our topic. Actually, it does kind of carry on, because there's been a lot of talk about this topic, cultural appreciation versus appropriation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Celebrating versus stealing.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah, I'm last month we were talking about this. You know,
yeah, how did we get into it? That was kind of like,
I know, because I
remember.
Think, D'Amica, you and I were kind of just chatting before we had gone on air.
I think we were like, oh my God, we need to talk about this. Because my whole home, if you were to go to my home, has a lot of artifacts, a lot of, well, all around the world, but mostly Asian is what I resonate towards with. Lots of things, artifacts to furniture to everything. And once my daughter told me, because she's a millennial, you know how they know everything.
I only know most things. Okay.
Sarah's like, most. I know 94%.
No, right. You're present, you know the phone.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, they definitely open up your minds to things. And actually, it wasn't a dig. I didn't take it as one. But she's like, Mom, when does it get to a point where, like, you walk in your home are you like appropriating, you know, Asian culture? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm clearly African American. And I'm like, well, Dorian, this is what I'm inclined towards. This is what I resonate to. Mm-hmm. This is what I love. I put beauty all around me, and this is what I go to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is it appreciation or is it appropriation? And how do you define that line? And it is a fine line, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't know the difference.
Yeah. Well,
or they do, and sometimes they get confused.
They think that they understand appreciation versus appropriation, but don't. And I think that's where it gets muddled. The waters get a little bit weird, because when you truly appreciate, so when you are saying, Damika, and you're, so it sounds like you're kind of asking yourself, am I appropriating or am I appreciating?
And I'm not truly asking myself, but my daughter and I did have a thoughtful conversation
about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're inclined to the aesthetic, there's nothing wrong with finding beauty in wherever you find it, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. I think no matter what we do, though, whether it's home decor or it's how we style our hair or the garb that we, you know, our garments, however we choose to project ourselves, if it is in a, I think it just needs to be thoughtful. So,
right.
The way I define appropriation versus appreciation is understanding where the significance
of the origin,
and appreciating that cultural significance versus just, you know, wearing your hair in a certain way or wearing an accessory in a certain way because you think it's just pretty.
Right.
Well, okay, it's fine and fair to find something attractive, but do you understand the significance behind it, where it comes
from?
And if you do, then okay, that's great. But if it's just sort of like I think I remember hearing when, because I know the Kardashians.
That was a big one, actually, when this came out. First of all, there was a tweet. And then also, she went to the MTV Awards in braids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go there.
For a lot of African American women, that is offensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not offensive because she's just wearing braids, but it's because of what Black women have gone through, because of the texture of the hair,
yes.
because of their hair looks nappy, as they say, because you can't go to work in those braids, so you're being discriminated against, and also sexualized in some ways, Black women have been, and penalized, harassed, whatever you want to say, because of your hair.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole TED Talks about Don't Touch My Hair. I forget who did that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just it's a big thing with Black women in our hair because of what has come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Kim did it, I think she was praised for it and looked at as beautiful, you know, and then so many Black women consider that, but we had to fight for our hair, even to the extent that, like, I'm in HR, just in 2019, they just passed the law that you could wear braids to work. I remember when I felt uncomfortable wearing braids to work because of the way that people perceive it.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said. I definitely want to touch on that, too, because, yeah, a lot of, I remember seeing an interview with a Black woman who was saying, wait, hold on. I want to wear braids, and I want to wear box braids, and I'm told, no, that's too ethnic. No.
Right.
And then a white woman or a woman like Kim Kardashian can wear braids. Khloe Kardashian can put box braids in her hair, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, that's so cute.
Right.
Well, wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So, but then I wonder.
Do we have?
Yeah. Okay.
We do.
Well, but there's a question I want to just really, does it help or hurt the community if someone, does it raise awareness that, hey, we can all wear this, we should all celebrate it, or is it stealing from the African American community? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would love to, like,
circle back.
Can we circle back when we come back?
We'll be right back. Women of Vision here in North State now, 96.5 FM.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, the new Queen Sleep Number 360 P5 Smart Bed is only $1,799. Save $600. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR 96.5 FM. We are having a really interesting conversation this evening. We are talking about cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation. We are, all four of us, are women of different ethnicities, mm-hmm. different backgrounds, different.
Yeah.
Which I think is so great about the show, right?
And we all appreciate differences.
Absolutely.
In certain different ways we were talking before, and like, you know, certain things that we have to check ourselves on mm-hmm. that we appreciate, mine being like the Asian culture.
Sure.
And the Buddhas and the everything in my home.
Yeah.
That my daughter checked me on. But also I told her, this is one thing that I think
good
about
job,
like the millennials is interesting to me. That like on one hand, it's like they're like, you're appropriating. And you know, appropriation in a sense, that's a level of, I want to say it right, divisiveness in a way.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
It's,
it's not inclusive.
Yeah.
But then you hear a millennial and they're like, oh, we don't believe in, you know, it's like sexual fluidity or, you know, not just that, because I'm having the talk in my head with my daughter, but also that like my kids say, Mom, you're very gender specific.
Mm.
You know, like, and they don't believe in gender. Like,
yeah.
The girls can take the garbage out. The boys can wash the dishes,
You know, yes. And obviously I didn't grow up in that way. I never take
so
the
you,
trash out.
So you grew up in a more sort of like, traditional,
my
I guess,
mom was
kind
June
of traditional
Cleaver.
Role.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dad was the provider. My mom had lunch after school prepared and ready and, you know, 5-course meal, dessert afterwards. Yeah. It's the reason
yeah.
why.
So there was, yeah, so there was like a very specific role in
oh,
the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So my children are not that way at all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that way. They think that that is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, but I was like challenging her in the sense that like, okay, like millennials can come across, and look,
okay.
I'm going to let you talk. They can come across being very inclusive, and there's so much to learn from them
yeah.
in that way, right?
Sure.
Like around race, around sex,
mm-hmm.
around all of that. I mean, you can be a sponge around them and grow and be more inclusive just by being around them
mm-hmm.
because of the time that they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, but wait a minute. Isn't this appropriation thing that kind of, to me, just came out, you know, is like, really? Is it kind of divisive? I don't know. I'm going to ask Sarah to answer that. Is it divisive or, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
I being feel like inclusive, like, you know.
Any generation has their double standards. Let's
yeah.
say that.
Yeah.
And it takes form in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think, like, what to me, like, appropriation versus appreciation, because I, too, am drawn to a lot of Asian culture.
Mm-hmm.
Is taking, like, when you, I have to, like, for me, I'm also sensitive because I'm white. Like, that's just a thing. You just have to realize there's a lot of history there.
Mm-hmm.
We've, like, decimated tons of cultures, like,
mm-hmm.
And so, like, for me, though, is I, to an extent, like, I'm always wanting to be checked. Like, I'm like, if someone feels like I'm appropriating their culture, I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like anyone to a certain level has a bias, and they
right.
need to be made aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
we all.
Yeah. There's always, there is a bias.
Bias.
Yeah. So, like, to me, when it comes to cultures, like, to me, I want to make sure appreciating is I'm knowing that anything I have in my home, I need to know the history of
right.
it, and I need
mm-hmm.
to be respectful of it,
mm-hmm.
because it means something to someone,
right.
especially anything religious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, like, you shouldn't really wear religious clothing from different cultures unless someone from that culture is like, hey, will you wear this with me? Will you go with me to mosque? Like, stuff like
yeah.
that. Like, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't try that. Don't wear Native American headgear.
Right.
Just don't do it. Don't be a gay.
Just don't do that.
Like,
yeah. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
I remember when I was coming up in my career, I did a lot of, like, how can I say? We hosted a lot of people from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that they would say to us is that how we wear the American flag, there's nowhere else in the world where
no.
they wear their flag.
The ridiculous idea that you should wear an American flag like a blanket.
Well, I find
and on
it
your clothing.
Because I'm from
I'm sorry.
The South.
Or like pants.
And,
come on.
And I'm from a military and law enforcement family,
mm-hmm.
and everyone is very particular about the flag.
Right.
Yeah.
How to be treated, and
right.
they go on and on about it, but then yet they print it on things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, technically to me, you're disrespecting the flag already if you're going
right.
to wear it on all sorts of
yes,
random crap.
Right. You're putting on a bunch of random stuff, like weird, yeah, yeah.
It's just is that appreciation?
Double standard.
Or appropriation. But, like, you know, we
it's
look crazy to people from other
mm-hmm.
parts
yeah.
of the world
and
wearing our flag.
For me, too, like, especially if you're white. Like, if you're wearing anything from a different culture, you should be expected to be asked about it. And you
mm-hmm.
should have a legitimate answer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
for me, my late sister was married into an Indian family from India. And I, like, obviously their wedding wore sari, and
mm-hmm.
I was gifted tons of saris, and
mm-hmm.
I do wear them occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask me about that, I'm willing to tell them why I'm wearing it.
Right.
Right.
And it's meaningful, but yeah,
yeah.
like, if you're wearing something from a different culture or you have that, like, I fully expect to get questions, and I expect
mm-hmm.
to have answers to them. I think it's just
it's respect.
Your responsibility.
Well,
and respect.
It's,
yeah.
it's respect. It's showing respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, yeah, taking something and then, you know. And, like, we were talking, my mom and I were actually talking about this morning. We were talking about Halloween. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so
oh,
a few
God.
Years ago. Yeah, okay. So, listen, I'm going to call myself out.
Yeah.
So, a few years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I don't know, I went as a geisha for Halloween. And I it did not occur to me, and this is where I think a lot of people too fall short, because it did not occur to me that that was being insensitive and
mm-hmm.
insulting. It honestly didn't, because I've try to anyway, educate myself about geisha. And I know where it comes from. I mean, I know the history. Mm-hmm. But I guess in that moment, in my mind, I was sort of thinking like I was sort of celebrating
right.
this look and this, you know. And when you go to Japan, I've never been, but I've read about, you know, when you go to Japan that often depending on where you go, you know, you will find women who will dress you, right? Because in mm-hmm. Japan, they think like, we love that you're interested enough mm-hmm. to allow us to dress right. you.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment mm-hmm. to yeah. them, right? So in my mind, that's how I was viewing it. Now it was Halloween. Well, when other day am I going to dress as a geisha? Am I on March 2nd on Tuesday, I'm going to go to Target as a geisha? No. So in my mind, it was like, Halloween's a perfect right. time. Mm-hmm. And I just really wasn't thinking about it. Now I look back and I see that picture and I've got the makeup, I've got mm-hmm. the hair, I've got the whole shebang. I look back and I'm like, oh. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Yeah. And then, you know, I go to, you know, you go to costume shops and you see Native American outfits mm-hmm. that are used for costumes. Mm-hmm. And you see all these sort of culturally significant outfits, hair, makeup that are now being used to sell. And I mean, let's face it, Native American costumes have been sold forever.
Right, exactly. Probably.
And I want to make it clear too, like,
well, for me though, sorry. For go me, because I have to say, as I was listening to you, I was wondering, like, did anyone say anything to
no,
you?
No, I go to this Halloween party and everyone's like, oh my God, look at you.
You know what?
Like, I know,
though,
right?
Like, for me,
no one
I
thought anything of it.
It's an opportunity to open up that dialogue
yeah.
and the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything comes through dialogue.
Yes.
But you're saying, Maurice, what?
No, it's not right.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Now I look back on it and I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
What are you saying?
But at the time, it didn't occur
hear.
To me that that was not maybe mm-hmm. the smartest thing to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think my perspective is completely different from a lot of people in that mm-hmm. I'm an immigrant who came here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born and raised in Philippines, and I came here, I don't know, 12, 13. So I was fully immersed in my culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a funky culture growing up here, starting in junior high. It's like,
oh, junior high is such a rotten time anyway. Right.
Yeah. And then also just like, just looking around, but yeah, like as somebody who comes from a different culture, like we would never do that.
Right.
Like
right.
Because we had our own dresses. I was just telling Jamaica we had our own dances, different dances
yes.
and different dresses. And I don't know, like when I was 15 being here in America, like I would not wear the Native American dress or the geisha because I would feel as if they did that same thing on Halloween anyway.
Exactly.
You know? Like that's
And I have to say this, I have to make this point really quickly because this is, I think, at the moment for me where I caught myself.
Mm-hmm.
So at this Halloween party, there were this couple that showed up, a white couple,
mm-hmm.
beautiful couple,
mm-hmm.
and they came in Native American garb. So like the guy came in like literally just a loincloth. I mean, just a loincloth.
Oh,
and then
boy.
He had this like armband. And then the girlfriend came in this very scantily clad, you know, Native American. And I remember looking at them, these very beautiful white couple with mm-hmm. blonde hair and fair skin. And I remember looking at them and part of me was like, damn, they look good. And then there was another part of me that was like, oh no, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
White. No.
Right.
Colonizers, you don't get to come in and celebrate
right.
the people with which your people,
mm-hmm.
you know, annihilated. I don't think
yeah.
so. And then it was kind of like, oh, but a girl has to check herself because
right.
she's wearing.
But you know,
you
also
know,
too with Halloween.
I'm sorry, if you're white, you do not get to wear Native American anything ever, period, the end. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just a quick disclaimer.
And also, I think for African Americans and for other cultures, it's about the fact that these things are monetized and people are making a profit off of them.
That's right.
The braids, the whatever it is, the Halloween costumes that,
yeah.
you know, Native American, all of that. But Maurice, you have something to
yes.
say.
Oh, no, I don't, actually. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, we're going to get...
Time for sponsors.
So, no, I don't have time for the sponsors right now.
Oh.
So we'll be right
sponsors
back.
Sponsors will get to you. We promise.
We'll get you.
Show we'll get you.
North State Now, 96.5 FM.
Turtle Bay spring plant sale has been extended. You can now enjoy discounts at the nursery all April long. We grow California native and climate acclimated plants from around the world, primed to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st at HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Meet Stella the Seahorse and her companions in Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, now on display at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Delightful and shocking, this indoor-outdoor exhibition highlights the perils of plastic pollution. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the KCNR Women of Vision North State Now show. This is Sarah.
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 So good to see you.
I know. I was like, oh my God, you live. Can I poke you? Are you real? I'm like, no poking, but I am real.
We haven't seen our Sarah in forever.
December was the last time I was in the building.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy
wow.
Nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I had to go, you know, be with myself for a while.
I love it. That's important. Yeah.
Yes. But we were talking about cultural appropriation versus appreciation if you were just now tuning in. And then we were, Alicia was talking about some stuff in her past, and then Maurice was tuning in and talking, and so we were going to go back to Maurice.
Oh, well, I think Danica brought up a good point because she was like in Philadelphia where she used to live. She knew a lot of Filipinos. I'm Filipino, by the way, but, let me say that, a Filipino, but I'm also half Spanish and Chinese. So there's actually, it's hard to find true Filipinos these days. Most of us are mixed.
I think like a lot of us are.
Yeah.
In general.
Sure. We're like Hawaiians.
Yeah.
You know, we're just completely mixed. But she was like, one thing she found fascinating about our culture and getting to know our people is that we're very sharing of our culture.
Like, very inclusive.
Yeah, we
you
don't
almost
find
like
offensive.
Feel Filipino. Like when I go back to Philly and I have a lot of friends there and they invite me over to dinner, like they make me a part of it. It's not I don't feel excluded at all.
Yeah.
It's like, let me share this meal with you and let me tell you where it comes from and let me, you know, introduce you, bring you into my culture. And
I've been invited back to the Philippines with them. You know, it's just like they are very inclusive.
But here's the thing, though. You appreciate that, but there's some people that are like, you're pushing this. You're pushing your will into this. But some people appreciate the education and learning. But some people are like, I don't really didn't care to know that.
One of my, they're my best friends even today, like still like cheering me on. If you see Facebook, they're always on my page cheering me on. Yeah.
I'm going to go stalk back there and see your friends.
It's family for me because of the way that they treated me, the way that they took me in. And the point that I was making with that is because you said, I don't see a lot of people like appropriating Filipino culture. And I said, probably it's because you guys let them in.
Yeah.
You include them. It's not like you're not a part of it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas some cultures are like, you can't even say this word because you're not of our culture.
Yeah. Although, speaking of millennials, so we have new Filipino-American millennials that are rising now, and you'll see it all over Instagram and social media where it's just, you know, they're digging more into their past and oppressiveness.
Okay.
Just kind of, you know, and what's going on. And which is great because, like, they're probably second generation here, and the first generation just wanted to assimilate.
Right.
But the second generation's like, wait, we want to know more about our culture, about our art. And but overall, I think it's still the same spirit, which is let's share and let's educate, you know. And that's one thing I love about my culture, I would have to say, is that we don't take into offense too much. Although there, like I was telling Divinka, there is a few things, and I think one thing that comes to mind is like, I think like, because we have Filipino martial arts, and a lot of people don't know that, you know, like the Kali sticks and even like the like knife fighting, like that comes from Philippines. And if you know martial arts, and most martial artists are, you know, they do their research and they educate and they appreciate. And so, but then some people don't, you know, and then, so that's where it's at. Like, I think the martial arts community might want to just be more like, hey, you know, this comes from Philippines.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't come from, you know,
this,
because martial arts, there's different martial arts all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure the Filipinos just want credit for that.
Right. And then just really quickly, because I think you said something to us while we were on break that I think is worth saying on air, too, how you were saying since you've moved to Reading or since you've been in the States, you said, I just sort of identify as Asian. But, and I think this is worth noting because I think there are a lot of people that don't necessarily understand the geography and understand that Pacific Islander, Asian, it's not, you can't just because of the shape of the eye doesn't mean that you can call everybody the same thing. So I think you should, I don't know, I think that would be worth mentioning.
No, that's fine. I mentioned that it wasn't until I moved to Reading that I accepted people said like that I'm Asian.
Calling
like,
you Asian.
Yeah, but anywhere else, like I call myself Pacific Islander. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm Filipino or Pacific Islander because, yes, we're in that continent, but we're way in the Pacific.
Yeah.
You know, and our culture is completely different.
Right.
Like, 100% different.
Right.
You know, but because there's so many, I don't know. I don't know about Reading, even though it's in California. But yeah, it's like
not
they
diverse.
They don't know.
Yeah.
I think some people still call me Philippines, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're still that behind.
Well, I mean, I think
I've been called colored.
I was just gonna say.
Oh my goodness.
When I first moved to Reading, one of my good girlfriends referred to someone as the colored guy, and I was just like, you know, what a hypocrite, right? Because like, few years later, I dress as a geisha.
I mean, I was just like, oh my God, we don't know, we don't do that. Yeah.
And I think, but she meant it in her heart.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is a form of respect. She did not understand that was not,
know. And then they were calling me Oriental too.
Oh, Exactly. Those are rugs,
like
not people.
No, just kidding.
Yeah. Oh dear. Oh dear, y'all.
But let me say this. So you bring up a great point to me that we said, like, it's about education, you know, the appreciation part, that's where it comes in. That's where that line is.
Yeah.
But you also said it's about the intent.
Yes.
Right? So it's two things. It's the intent and the education of how people wear things and how they're showing up.
Yes. Yes.
That actually leads in. That's like what I was going
to
talk
you
about, actually.
I had to say
like, we had a commercial break. I was like, oh, I have things to say. And then we're like, we got to go. And I was like, dang it.
No, it's good that you catch it, though.
Yeah, because I came from the South, and the community, and I'm not saying all the South is bad, y'all, so calm down.
I'm from Memphis.
Yes. So Oh, the community I was in was very close-minded, and, like, I will fully admit, like, 10 years ago, I was a very different person. And I think, too, like, part of America's problem is we only care about America, and we are wrapped up in our red, white, and blue. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with loving your country.
Of course.
But the education system, like, really fails Americans of all colors and races because we only teach one version of history.
We teach a very whitewashed, no pun intended, but we teach a very whitewashed and very sanitized version.
Yeah, and it wasn't until I got to college, it wasn't until I got to college that I realized and did research of my own and researched professors and stuff from different backgrounds, like how very different the world is versus what I was taught. And I think that's a lot of opportunity, and I generally think, I'm not making excuses for anyone's bad behavior, because y'all are responsible for your own actions, but...
Yeah, and educating yourself.
Yes, and educating yourself.
And educating yourself.
It's not your, or someone's job necessarily to do it.
Yeah.
However, but, like, through primary school and stuff, you should, like, if someone, you are being forced to be taught, like, you should be taught responsibly. Oh gosh, what was I saying? My brain.
You were talking about when you moved here, how 10 years ago you were a different person, and just getting, basically it sounded like you were leaning into the things that you have become more aware of.
Yes, you guys, it's finals week for me again, going back to school again, and my brain just went, I had a spot, and it just went, woo, bye.
Yeah, we understand.
We do.
But yeah, and I think, what I was saying is making excuses for people's actions, but I think like a lot of people dress in Native American clothing, different forms of Asian clothing and stuff is because I think they genuinely don't understand how offensive that is because they were never taught like the basic things of that.
Right.
Because like even the news, like I don't watch American news stations because all we hear about is us. We don't really hear about any other countries unless someone died. Like that's it. Like no one, they don't care about anything besides here.
Right.
And we only see one version of the world and one version of history. And it's not till I literally, like this sounds cliche, but I traveled and I saw different stuff that you realize this is very different.
Right.
And but yeah, I think the thing is we should all be willing to ask a question. We should all own up when we are wrong. So.
And we should all travel.
That's a great point, is owning up when you're wrong. I think that's one of the points.
Yeah, apologize.
It's okay. Just apologize.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like what you're doing today, calling yourself out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm guilty of it too. I did it, and then now I realize, and because I've learned, and just as you said, educated myself and taken that responsibility, now I'm kind of like, okay.
Right.
I think it's good. Noted. I will not do it. There was no offense intended.
No,
it was in my mind. It was a celebratory thing. But now I realize, like, well, hold on. I want to ask a really quick question too. What do you guys think of when you hear people say, "Well, I don't see color"?
Okay, let's get back to that on the next one.
Okay.
Because I need to give shout out to our sponsors.
And that's a whole show, but okay.
I want to talk about that.
Shout out to Everbloom Skincare at 6608 Azalea Avenue, Results Driven Facials, Natural Acne Clinic, Botanical Based Non-Toxic Skincare, Lit From Within, 2449 Athens Avenue, Organic Spray Tanning, Infrared Sauna, Light Therapy, Natural teeth whitening, yoga, meditation, dance, and more. Bev Gray with Zervita, she offers some of the most delicious and nutritious drink called Zeal. Not only is it nutritious, but it also gives you energy, vibrancy, and boosts your immune system. All fired up, 1796 Turn Creek Road, pottery painting, life casting, board art clay, prints, and fused glass workshops. To Dana Grant, Master Intuitive Life Coach, to Max Malari with World Financial Group, Life and Health Insurance Agent, and to Ali Avirs with Bohem Salon and Spa, 961 Dana Drive, Suite 130. Relieves Trading, plant-based medicine that works naturally and affordably, good for your pain. And to our one and only, Sarah Marie Spectrum, unleash your dreams, own your imagination, SarahMarieSpectrum.com. Okay, you guys, so we'll be right back here at Women of Vision Show, North State Now, and 96.5 FM.
North State now with a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Posada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Hey, Redding, guess what? Our dining room at Black Bear Diner is open again, and we're bringing chili back. That's right. Come dine in comfort inside of our Hilltop Drive location. And special for March, ask for a bowl or cup of our delicious homemade chili, or try one of our new chili creations, a chili stuffed breakfast burrito, a chili cheddar cheeseburger, or for dinner, our tri-tip chili platter. Come dine inside or order for takeout at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR 96.5 FM. We are having a very interesting conversation tonight. We are talking about cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation. And then it just sort of, I think, birthed into a whole conversation about...
It's spreading, you guys.
It really has evolved into a whole, I think, other, you know, conversation.
Future podcast.
About, about identity, how we identify ourselves, mm-hmm. and experiences, things that we have learned about appreciation versus appropriation, what's appropriate, what's not. How do you celebrate another culture if you are not part of it, mm-hmm. without, you know...
Offending
others. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's just a really interesting topic. And it's, you know, I think you guys, if you could hear the things that we talk about on break, it's like, if we could somehow just have a show that was a full 60 minutes,
right.
I think the things that we talk about on break, I think is really important. But anyway, so, we ended our last segment with, what do we end our last segment?
Well, I think that it's important for us to clearly define the line of demarcation between the appreciation versus appropriation.
Yeah.
And I feel like what I hear everyone saying, because I'm HR, I look for threads.
Yeah.
And the threads are about awareness.
Awareness.
And education.
Yes.
About intent. What is your intent when you're doing a certain thing with a different culture?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, what... broadening your mind.
Right.
Right.
And what else?
Well,
like owning up.
Owning up.
And owning up.
That responsibility.
That's the most huge thing.
Yeah. Responsibility.
When you're wrong.
When we ended our last segment, I asked the question, what do you ladies think about, feel? What is the thought that resonates with you when you hear someone say, well, I don't see color?
It annoys me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It annoys me.
The first word, let's go around.
Oh,
what do you think? What's your word?
Well, for me, since I used to be that person back mm-hmm. in the day, for me, I just like literally will flat out tell someone, I'm like, well, that's a very sad, upsetting place to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, you're missing out.
Yeah.
And then
when you said that, because you said that was someone that used to be, when you were in that mindset back then, when you said, well, I don't see color.
Were you seven?
What?
No, I'm asking. She
could have
been.
Yeah, so I'm 29 now. So like that was back when I was like early teens, like 13,
okay.
14.
Okay. So when you used to think that, what did that mean to mm-hmm. you?
Well, part of it was me reiterating things that my parents taught me. So I think a lot of it is like people learn with you, especially if you have children. It's a very you're very responsible for that and the mm-hmm. things that they learn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And like that was literally how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, like, part of it was reiterating, but like as I was slightly older, it was more like, oh, I'm not racist.
Yeah.
Fine. I have a black best friend. Like I literally did. But like and to me it was just I was in a very close knit community that didn't have anyone really that was very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I didn't really have a lot of exposure to that and understanding. So the rare people I would come across, it was just like, oh yeah, I don't see it. Like, cause it was just the thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not racist. And then you like really realize, like, especially like when I was older and started experiencing more stuff, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh wait.
And it's like, and some people assume like they assume racism instantly means violence. But, like, racism, like, you can be racist and not
quiet.
And quiet. Like, you can dehumanize people and not realize you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What, mm-hmm. Bryce, what do you think when you hear, when someone say, I don't see color?
First of all, annoys me because I think it's lazy language. Mm-hmm. I know what they mean.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like what Sarah said. It's like, oh, it's kind of sad because I love seeing people of color, like
the rainbow.
People. Yeah, exactly. It's like I appreciate the rainbow of our world and our, you know, our community. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like,
if you don't see that, sad for you.
Yeah. What do you think, Tamika, when you hear that?
I mean, I hate to say it.
You can say it.
Listen, this is I think ignorance. And ignorance is not a bad word. It just means, like, you haven't educated yourself.
Right.
I don't mean it in a bad way.
Right.
But at home, my son and I do say it in a bad way. Are you dumb? We do say it like that. But that's
yes.
Right, you know, in the house. And we're just like, educate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't be ignorant.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think when you say it's lazy language, I think that's exactly it. Now, I think that, and I'm going, I don't know for certain, but I feel like when people, and I want to say that most everyone that I have ever heard say that are Caucasian. And I think when they say that,
they mean well.
They're saying, I don't see you, Damika, a black woman, any differently than I see you, Sarah, or you, Maurice, or you. Like, we're all the same. We're all part of the human race. I don't want to pigeonhole anyone into. Like, I feel like they believe in their heart, right, that is.
I'll speak for Caucasians real quick.
Yeah.
But I think too, I'll do that. You guys can
confirm. I was thinking something.
But like, for me, like, from my understanding as of being in a person that place, I think too, it's like, it's this fear you don't realize you have. Because we have a level of privilege. That's just fact. Everyone's fact. So, like, we're not used to experiencing a lot of strife and stuff towards us. I mean, there's, like,
not
because of our skin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, like, for me, you grew up in the safe place. Like I said, I didn't have exposure.
Yeah.
And then once you start getting to exposure stuff, you get to this point where you have this fear and you don't know what it is and how to deal with it because you were never exposed to something and you have to learn.
And that,
part of it is fear. Like, it's not necessarily violence, but and it's your job to take that and learn from that.
To me, it's a very dismissive way of saying, like, you know, I'm not a racist, but, and that's fine. I'm certainly not here to call out someone who says, I don't see color as a racist, but I feel like it's a very dismissive way of saying, like, I'm not going to do my due diligence in understanding where each of us comes from and their history and you know what I mean? It's like, well, I don't see color. It's just a way of saying now I can just kind of wash my hands of I don't owe it to anyone or myself in doing, again, any kind of education in, you know, where we all come from and so it just frustrates me too when I hear that.
Effort,
I don't see color.
It's like, it takes effort.
Oh, I don't think you think what that means.
Yeah. And maybe even it takes love.
Yeah.
You know, so and love is the opposite of fear. Yeah. I love what you just said because I think we could do a whole show on the fear and fear being like the origin of racism. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if we could just capture that moment, I was so into what you were saying and probably it's so provocative because, you know, who would admit that, right? So I love that you said that.
And I have a level of compassion, too. So when I said most of my life, I never said I'm Asian until I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody called me Oriental. For me, I'm like, I'm not actually, again, I'm not super offended. I'm just like, okay, like I have a level of compassion, understanding. Yeah. And just like what Sarah said, it's like, this is how she grew up.
Yeah.
This is how her community.
Yes.
They didn't know any.
That's right.
Else.
Didn't really know.
So
yeah.
You have to have a level of compassion too, you know, and that's where love, compassion and love, I feel are intertwined in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I agree. And again, kind of going back to what you were saying, Damika, too, is it does, I think at the end of the day, it all boils down to the intent.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone says, you know, I don't see color, one person might define that in a different way than the other. And so, you know, to one person, it could be very dismissive. To the other, to someone else who's saying that, they genuinely mean that, like, I don't see myself as a racist. I don't look at you or anyone else any differently.
You know,
and so it is important to know the person that, you know, is making these statements. But
we're saying, let's not skip over it. It is important for people to look at people individually and differently.
Oh, for sure.
And in the same way, it's not okay to think all Black women think like Damika. It's not a monolith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. It's important that we hear each other as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
but that takes effort.
It takes energy.
Yeah. And conversation.
And humanize a person, not just a whole people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the effort, I think that's where, I think you're correct too, like most of the people that I've heard say those phrases were predominantly Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, that's why I'm like, and then I could hear their friends going, yes, bro.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
You guys are not even like taking the time to actually feel and understand what you're actually saying.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, again,
we gotta do more of this, you guys. This was so good.
Yeah. And it's okay, you guys, to see color.
It's okay to see color.
It's good to see color. We should celebrate the differences, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like instead of saying, oh, well, I just don't see color. Yeah. Well, that is too bad.
That's a sad world not to see color.
That's a sad world.
I like to be acknowledged. Like, whoa,
you look brown skin. I'm very colorful.
You know,
look at Sarah all colorful here, but we don't see.
I got blue hair, y'all.
Okay.
All right. Rainbows over there.
I'm wearing a green dress with a pink bag.
You know that movie? Was it Pleasantville or whatever? The black and white movie?
Oh, yeah. With Reese Witherspoon and Tobey Maguire.
But I don't know. I just thought of that. I'm like, you don't want to live that life.
Right. No. We should celebrate our differences.
And it's not just our skin. Again, this thing can go on forever. Every person is unique inside and have completely different walks of life and backgrounds.
Could you imagine how rich our life would be if we did open ourselves up to all the different people and cultures?
Absolutely. And just listen.
Listen.
Like, how much more exciting our life would be if we
rich.
Really. Yeah.
We'd be rich.
Rich and flavorful.
Especially when you realize, like, how much of true American history is colorful.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, thank you, girl.
Go, Sarah. I'm so glad you're back in the building.
We need her.
Yes. All right, everyone.
Well, thank you so much for listening to the Women of Vision show. We are so happy to be back, all four of us together. We are looking forward to our next show next month. And have a fabulous month, you guys. Thanks so much.
Go out and see some color. Bye.
I love that.
Casey.